begin the current daf Masechtas Beis, daf Mem, the final daf Masechtas Beis. We continue on the bottom of daf Lamed Tes Amud Beis, three lines off in the bottom of the Amud, where the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on the theme of the previous Mishnayos, regarding one of the areas of the rabbinic prohibitions on Yom Tov, which is the Isra of Tchumen, of the, how far a person could go on Yom Tov. Now, the discussion is regarding the objects of a person. That is, what is the definition of an object? Generally, the object itself, a behemoth, a keli, takes on the tchum iser, those boundaries of the owner. Our Mishnah continues the discussion regarding certain things. What are the parameters of that object? Who is considered the owners of that? As the Mishnah explains, Misha hayu peiros be'ir acher. So someone had his produce in another city. Ve'iru b'nei oisa ha'ir. Now the people from that city where the produce is, they made an eir of tchumen, to be able to bring the owner from his produce, and that is, let's say there's a distance of 3,000 amas from one city to the next. Now one can only go 2,000 amas, so the owner would not be able to get it on Yom Tov. The people from the city where the produce is made an Erev Tchumen, thereby allowing themselves to walk the 3,000 amas, because they can go up to now 4,000 amas in that direction, thereby being able to bring that person his produce. And that the Mishnah tells us actually, lo yaviyu lo, they cannot bring him from his produce. And the reason is, since the owner himself didn't make the Erev, it's not going to help. And that is, as we explained in the previous Mishnah, is it goes karagli habaylam. A person's objects, his produce, takes on his tchum. So therefore, it doesn't help that they can walk to his city and bring stuff, because they can't bring him his thing, because his things has his tchum, and his things would be out of his tchum, and therefore wouldn't be able to be brought to where he is. However, then Erev, who, if he made an Erev to be able to go to that city, then Peres of Kamayu, then his Peres, his produce, takes on the same tchum as him, which and now is connected his city to that city, then, therefore, they are allowed to bring him from his produce, because since he made the Erev, so he is connected to that city, and therefore now his produce can also come to his city. Continue on top of Mem and Aleph, a similar halacha, Misha Zimun Etzli Archim. If someone invited guests for the Suda, the Yom Tov meal, from a different city. Now, the only way they were able to come to him was, as we said, the cities are more than the Tchum apart, but they made an Erev Tchumen, which allows them to walk an extra 2,000 amas. Now, that the halacha is, Lo Yalichim Biyadai, the Nalada take in their hands after they finished the meal that they ate by their host, Manais, which are leftovers from the meal, they cannot take gifts for the night meal from what they have from the host, Elim Kein Zichalahem, unless he merited to them through someone else, Manaisehim Erev Yom Tov, those gifts, those foods they want to take back from before Yom Tov. And that is what has to have been taken place, was that the owner went to someone else before Yom Tov. And he says here, you do what's called Meshichi, you take this, you draw this, these foods, these objects that I want to give them that they could take back home after they eat the meal by me, for such and such a person. Now that could be done because of the principle of Zachan La'adam Shalai B'fanam. Though we mentioned on the previous daf that you cannot merit for someone when he's not there, that's only when it's something of hefker, where although you're meriting your friend, but you're causing loss to others. Here where he owns the object, he could merit other people even though they're not there. And then it's going to be theirs from before Yom Tov, and whatever is theirs, as we said, takes on the tchum boundaries of the owner. And that is, had he not done this process of being mezakeh to them, then it would be his chant, his kugel, his food, whatever it is that he's giving them. Now, although he wants to send them packages back home, they're walking with an Erev. His Erev, with therefore his food, his objects, would be limited to his tchum of the host. And therefore, it wouldn't be able to go with them back home. So therefore, the only way he can give them, send them back gifts with them when they're going back home for the rest of Yom Tov would only be if he already had merited to them. Hence, before Yom Tov was already theirs, then it took on their tchum, then they could take it back home. Now, the Gemara brings the following discussion, which related will be brought into the discussion of what our Mishnah was talking about. Sitma, we learned as follows. There's the following machloikis. Hamafkid peris etz l'chaver. Someone deposits his produce by his friend. His friend is holding on to it, is keeping it by him until he comes back to get it from him. So we have machloikis. Rava ma karagli mishif kidula. He says that the tchum of these produce will be like the tchum of the one that it's deposited by, the one who's watching it. Shmuel amar karagli mafkid. Shmuel argues. He says, no, the depositor, the one who owns it, it those produce, although he's not watching it, give it to his friend to watch it, it will have his tchum. It's like the owner, not like the one who's watching it. Now that the Gemara wants to say that Lema Rav Shmuel de Azu Tamay. Let's say that Rav Shmuel go according to opinions mentioned elsewhere, what's called Lishitasam, that they argue on the similar machlekes somewhere else, and we could transplant that and translate it for their machlekes over here. Then, as we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Baba Kama, the Mishnah says, Im hichnis birshus. If someone brings his ox, his pots, his produce with permission into his friend's chatzar, into his friend's courtyard, so there's a machlokes in that Mishnah. The Tanakhama holds, Bal ha-chatzar chayav, the owner of the courtyard is liable for any damages that will happen to this person's objects that was brought in with permission. And then it says at the beginning of that Mishnah, the Reisha there in that Mishnah, Masechta Baba Kama says that when he tells him, come in, you're allowed to come in, bring your stuff into my courtyard, what the Tanna Kama holds is that he's telling him, come in and I'll watch it, I'll take care of it. And therefore, he's liable for any damages that happen to that person's objects. Rabbi Yomir Hiak, he says, no, Lo'ilam Ein Chayim, the owner of the courtyard is not responsible for any damages that happen to that person's ox or his pots or his produce. Ashi Kabul of Balabais Lishmer, until he accepts upon himself the responsibility to watch it. But although he lets him come in, I have no problem you coming in, but I'm not taking responsibility. That's the machlekes. Is that an implicit responsibility when he says come in, or is it not? Now, regarding that machlekes in that Mishnah, the Amr Rav Huna Marav, we have machlekes Amiram had a paskin. Rav Huna said in the name of Rav Halacha Kedivri Chacham, Halacha vows like the Chachamim, that he is responsible. And Shmuel says that no, halacha falls like Rebbe, that the Baal HaChatzar is not responsible for anything that happens to the person's things, although he lets him come in, but that wasn't an implicit take responsibility. Now, on that, the Gemara wants to say, the Lema, let's say that the machlekes over here, that they're arguing regarding the halachas of Tchumen, is the same as that machlekes that they have over there regarding who does the halacha follow. And that is, Rav de Amak Rabbanan, Rav that said over there, the halacha falls like Rabbanan, that we say that it's in the Rishus, it's considered that it's in the domain of the one that's watching it regarding the that we said he has the responsibility to watch it. So therefore, it sounds like this thing would apply to Tchumen, to boundaries. And that is, when you deposit something by someone, when you're putting something in someone else's domain, it sounds like from the Rabban's opinion that then he takes responsibility. He becomes the responsible party. Therefore, the Rabban says he's going to be Chayiv if anything happens to it. And hence it would sound like that, therefore, it would take on the tchumen of that person too, which is what Rav was saying of Karagle Mishif Gidulot. Ushmol Damakir Rebbe, but Shmol says the halacha is like Rebbe, that it's still retained, it's still Bishus Ha Mafkid. Therefore, that would seem to be saying the same thing over here regarding the halachas of tchumen. And that is just like when you bring an animal and he says, come into my yard, but I'm not taking responsibility. It's still in your domain. You have responsibility for your own acts, even though it's in my rishos. Same thing is regarding the halachas of tchumen. Rishos ha-mafkid, the one who, although he gives it to his friend as he's watching it, says, I understand I'm watching it, but it's still in your domain. And therefore, that's why Shmuel says, just like he says, the halachas like Rabbi, here he also says a similar halacha regarding tchumen, that it would still remain rishos ha-mafkid. It wouldn't enter the domain of the one, l'misha efkiduloi, neither for nizakin, and neither for the halachas of tchumen. So that's what the Gemara wants to entertain. So now the Gemara says that no. Either opinion could say that the other opinion, that of, well, although we say regarding the halachas of Nizakin, that Shmuel was saying like Rebbe and Rav was like Rabbanan, either one could say that the other opinion would be like me regarding the halachas of Tchumen. As the Gemara explains, Amalacha Rav, Rav would tell you that regarding this halacha that we're discussing here in this sugya, regarding the halachas of Tchumen, Ano de Armi Afila l'Rebbe. Regarding this, although in Nizakin I pass in like the Chacham, here I could even be like Rebbe. And therefore, it's not the same exact machlekes that we have over there to over here. Because Adkan, like Kami Rebbe Hossam, where do we find Rebbe over there that Rebbe argues? And he holds that it's not going to be in the domain of what's called the Mishef Kiduloi, the one who is being deposited by, it's not considered in his domain to be responsible for Shemira, is Eladibistama. That's only because when there was no explicit responsibility that was taken by the owner of the courtyard, he just says, come in. Now, Rebbe holds when someone says, come in, you could come in, he means come in, but you watch your own stuff, enter at your own risk. And therefore, loy kibul lenetirusa. So that's why it doesn't mean it's an implicit taking responsibility, and he doesn't take responsibility to have to watch it. And that's why Rebbe holds over there that he's not going to be chayiv for any nizakin, for any damages. But over here, regarding when someone's depositing his produce by someone else, so we're not talking about what's called stama, where he's just left it there and he says, oh, okay, you can put it here if you want to. Hakabul lenetirusa. We're talking about a case where he took responsibility. He is a shaymer. It was mafkid by him. Now, therefore, of course, then we would say it is in his rishos, it is in his domain, and hence the tchum would take on his dimensions of parameters of how far he can go, and therefore it would be considered bishus, and that's what Halacha Rav could say, even like Rebbe would be l'mishef gidulai. Now, Shmuel Amar, Shmuel could say the reverse. He says, Anoda Amri, I actually say regarding this Halacha of tchumen, afilu l'rabbanan, although by nizak and a passing like Rebbe, but regarding this area of Halacha, I could be even like Rabbanan. because ad kan lekamer rabban hasam, and it goes the opposite. Although Rav was focusing on the one that's being deposited by, which when he was coming to explain the opinion of Rabbi, that whether he's interested in being invested or not, whereby Nizakin Mechateso, he's just not, he didn't say that he is, but here he's taking responsibility, hence it is, Shmuel focuses more on the one who's depositing, the depositor. And that is because Adkan Lakam Rabban Hasan, where do we find the Rabban over there? That they say that it remains, it actually enters into the Rishus of the Bala Chatzar, which means to say that therefore he's responsible for any damages. That's Ella, that's only regarding safeguarding an item. And that is because the Rabban hold that generally when the owner of the courtyard says, come on in, he means to say, come on in and I'll watch it for you. Now, therefore, it most definitely is the case that when a person has an ox, who someone else is letting him bring his ox into his field, of course he prefers, look, if the guy is saying, come on in, it means to say, I'll take responsibility. Of course he prefers that now that the owner of the courtyard will take responsibility to watch his ox. That is why, the imazikle, because if it causes any damages, this ox, to the owner of the courtyard, that he causes, he wreaks havoc his ox, so lemechayev is not going to be responsible because the owner of the courtyard took responsibility. So of course then the depositor would prefer that. And that's why the Rabban hold over there that he will be chayev. Aval hacha, but over here regarding the lachas of tchumin, do you think the depositor wants his objects to take on the tchum of the one that he's depositing a buy? No, he wants to be able, wherever he wants to go, that the produce could go, wherever he's going. But if it took on the dimensions, the parameters of the one who's depositing a buy, it wouldn't be able to do. And therefore, even here, by tchumin, the Rabbana would agree that, no, it wouldn't go out and take on lamisha efkidu lai, even though they're by nizak and they do. Rather, here they would agree to me that the halacha would be that it would be b'shuas ha-mafkid because he doesn't want it to take on those areas. And therefore, that's the difference between Rav and Shmuel. They were both showing how either opinion could be different over here. Rav, again, focusing on the lamisha efkidu lai, that regarding those differences, and Shmuel was focusing more on the mafkid, that here it's going to be different, that there he would prefer that it takes on, because then he'll be responsible, and here he doesn't want to take on, because he wants to be able to take it, Rebbe wants to take, and therefore the Gemara says it's not necessarily the same machalikis over there regarding damages, and over here regarding the lochus of tchum. But now regarding this machalikis, the Gemara asks on Rav. Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, and that's where this discussion comes in. We said in our Mishnah of him, we said, although generally, that if someone has his produce in another city, they can't bring it to him. Because even though they make an Erev, he didn't, and it goes according to him. But if if the owner went ahead and he made an Erev, then his produce is the same like him. And just like he can go between these two cities, now his produce could also come between the two cities. Now the question is, if you hold like Rav, that when you're depositing, if something of yours is by somebody else, that it doesn't take on your tchum, it takes on the tchum of who it's deposited by. So ki erev may have, what does it help that our Mishnah is saying that when he makes it erev, then it's okay they could bring his produce, but that shouldn't help, because it anyways takes on the dimensions of the one that it's being kept by. So who cares that he made an erev? He's not the defining factor. Obviously, what we see from our Mishnah is that it is karagli ha-mafkid ninu, that it is like Shmuel, that the one who's depositing it, even though it's by someone else, it still goes based on him, and therefore if he makes an error, it could go back and forth. So that seems not like Rav. So that the Gemara says that Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said that Ami Bei Rav, they said in the yeshiva of Rav, as a way of explaining our Mishnah, Kugin Shiyichid like Karen Zavis. Actually, we're talking about that they set aside a corner in the house that they lent him that area. Now, what essentially that means is that, therefore, it is considered b'shus ha-mafkid. That's why our Mishnah talks about that if he makes it the Erev, then that's what's dependent on. And you're right, then it would be b'shus ha-mafkid. However, what we're discussing is when the Shema went and took this object, these produce, and he accepted responsibility to safeguard it, then it's not anymore b'shus ha-mafkid according to Rav. There it's actually going to be karagli mishef kidu etzloi, and that's why it's not going to be the b'shus ha-mafkid. And that's the difference. Rav has explained that our Mishnah is talking about a different case. Where you set aside a spot for him, where did you put it? It's almost like it's in his house, because this is his corner. It's not the watchman's house. It's almost, this corner is the depositor's house, and therefore it's his. Wherever his house is, it's going to be in his rishos, and that's why it's based on his Erev. But what Rav and Shmuel is discussing, a regular full-fledged watchman, there Rav says it's going to be correctly mishef ki that's like. So the Gemara continues asking on Rav from our Mishnah. Tashma, we learned in our Mishnah that said Misha Zimin Esli Archim. Someone invited guests for Yom Tov. So he said, Lo Yichim B'yodimon. Then I'll go ahead and take home gifts, taking back home on Yom Tov, as we said, because it takes on the tchum of the honor of the host, and what he's giving them can't go back with the air that they're taking beyond his tchum. Unless, as we explained, that if he goes ahead and he makes for them, he's mezakeh to them, meaning they already acquired it through a zikah through someone else, then they would be able to go ahead and take it back home on Yom Tov, because essentially it's theirs from before Yom Tov, and they could take it as far as they could go. Now, again, the Gemara asks on Rav, if you say that even if someone owns something, but it goes based on the tchum of who it's deposited by, so even when he's acquiring it to them through someone else before Yom Tov, so it's theirs. But my Havo, what does that help? Because anyway, we're basing it on who, after he merits it to them, whose house is it being kept and who's watching it? The host. He just acquired it to them. And therefore, obviously, you see, not like Rav, you see like Shmuel, that it goes correctly on Mafkid. And that is because since they own it, so even if it's being deposited by the host in the meantime, until they go ahead and take it back in the middle of Yom Tov, it still will be in their rishus, and therefore they could take it back home. And seems not like Rav. And I think Gemara says, Hachanam Hiros, is like we answered before. Kivan Shezich Lamal De Acher, since he merited to them through someone else, it's Kamish Yichud Le Keren Zabastam. It's as if he set aside a corner in the house, wherever it is, that this is their house, their spot. It's not even by me, it's by them. And therefore, it's going to be like their regulam, and they can take it back home. But right, if the host was actually really watching it, which would be the case if he wasn't mezakeh to them, then they wouldn't be able to take it back. It would be correctly mishi of kidei etzlo. Vibaisema, or the Gemara gives another interpretation, is zicha shani. Actually, when you're meriting it to someone, there it's different, because what's his whole purpose why he's meriting it to them before Yom Tov? Was only so it shouldn't be tied down to his shvisa, to his tchum, so that they could be able to take it back home on Yom Tov. If that's his whole intention, obviously it's not going to be correctly mishkidu, it's like, because that would defeat the whole purpose. Obviously, by being mezakeh to them, he's identifying it as theirs totally, and that's why it could go back to their house. But a classical case of ragli, of where it's being deposited by someone, then of course they would not be able to take it back home, because it would be like the one who is deposited by. Now the Gemara brings a story related to this halacha that Rav Chana bar Chani Loi, he was tola bistra ba'avad didasha. He hung a piece of meat by the bolt of his door. Now he was staying by someone else's house by a host, where the butchers of the city gave him meat from before Yom Tov. Now he actually lived in a different city, and he had to make an eriv to come to where he was staying over here. Now he wanted to be able to go and take that meat back where he lived, where he needed to get through an Erev. It was a distance of more than 2,000 amas to get back home. So he wanted to get back home. The question is, was he able to take that meat? Now, also coming to Rav Huna, came in front of Rav Huna. So Amal Rav Huna told him as follows. It says, I'at tolis, if you hung up that piece of meat on the bolt of the door, then go ahead and take that meat. In other words, it will take on your tchum. However, v'inu talulach, but if they went ahead and they hungered on the door for you, then leitishkel, then you now go ahead and take it back home to your city. Which the Gemara will shortly explain, why would that depend about who hungered up for defining the parameters of this object's tchum. Now, first the Gemara asks, v'i ihu talu mishakel, is it really true that, as he told them, that if he hungered up, then he could take it back home? But the one who passed in this halacha was Rav Huna. Now, Rav Huna, Talmud Rav Hava, Rav Huna is a student of Rav, and we just finished explaining, Rav, that Rav said, Kiragli Mishif Kidu Etzloi, Rav said that no matter who it is that owns it, but whoever it's deposited by is the one that defines the parameters of the Tchum. Now, since it's deposited by his host, it's by his host's house, so therefore, what does it help that he himself hung it up? Even if he was the owner, it wouldn't help, because it's deposited by the host, and the host, their Tchum does not go back to his city, because they don't have an heir. So what does it help that he hung it up to be able to take it back home? So I think I'm going to explain, similar as I gave the answers before. That Shani Ivr Dadasha, the bolt of the door is different. In other words, here it's different because this that he himself hung it up by the bolt of the door, and they didn't actually receive it from him as safeguarding because he himself hung it up. It was all his doing. Then essentially it's the same as the other terutzim that we gave. So it's as if this was his corner that was reserved for him. Therefore, it's not at all related to this halacha of a shaymer that it's lemishev kidus leya, takes on the tchum of the one who's safeguarding it because they didn't do anything to it. They're not safeguarding it. He hung it up. He did it all. So it's like it's his own corner that's his, and that's why he could take it back home because it's based on his tchum, not on their tchum. Now, however, the Gemara asks now three questions on the other part of the halacha. Now, Amalei Rav Hila Rav Ashi says, now, the other half that he told him was, but in hu talu, but if they hung it up for you, then lo yishakel. Then you can't go ahead and take it home. Now, that he asked, but Ba'amar Shmuel said, we're quoting this on the previous staff, that Shershal Patam, an ox of the fattener, where he's a merchant that sells fattened oxen. On that we said, Harehu Karagli Kaladam, we said that those oxen have the tchum of any person that comes to purchase those oxen on Yamtu. Now, one thing we see from that halacha is that since that was already intended by the fattener, he knows he's going to sell these oxen on Yamtu, so he says whoever's going to buy it, it's going to be that essentially it was their tchum from before Yamtiv, and therefore the purchaser could take it wherever he's going, even from a different city, and even though he has a different tchum. So the question that the Gemara is asking it is therefore here also, where even if they hung it up, but they hung it up for him, and if they hung it up for him, why shouldn't it be Rav Chana's tchum, just like we say by the fattener, where it takes on the tchum of the one that's being purchased for, because that was their intention. Here it shouldn't be any worse than that. Another question, the second question, Amar Levin Rav Ashi. Now, V'i in hu talu le loy shakal, is it really true? If they hung it up for him, his host hung it up for Rav Chana, then he can't take it back home. But V'amar Rabbi B'chanan B'yechan on halacha krev deisa, halacha fazer krev deisa, that we quote on the previous daf. Rav Deisa says that if there's only one shepherd in the city, even if he doesn't give the shepherd from before, it takes on the tchum of the ragli haroi, it takes on the shepherd's tchum. And the reason is, as we explained in the previous daf, because we say what's called anan sahadi, we assume that everyone's going to give their animal to the shepherd, and therefore that was their intention to give it to him, and therefore it was already his tchum from before Yamtiv. Now, if that's the case, most definitely over here, where originally they hung it up by the door for Rav Chana, and since that was their intention, so for sure should have the tchum of Rav Chana, even though they hung it up. And similarly, a third question. Only Rav Ashi l'Rav Kahana, is it really true, v'i'in hu talu le'le shakal, that if they hung it up for him, then he can't take it back home? But what none? We learned in the Mishnah on the previous stuff in Lam Zayin and Aleph that said habehema v'hakelim, a person's animals and his utensils, are karagli habaylim, are going according to the tchum of the owner himself. And therefore, again, here where they hung up the piece of meat for him, that makes him the owner because they were giving it to him. And if they're giving it to him, it shouldn't be the tchum of the host, it should be the tchum of the owner because that's there, who's the owner is him. And therefore, why is that case of when they hung it up for him, that we say that, oh, then he can't take it home. Why not? He's ragli abaylam, and therefore he should be able to take it back home. Sivri Gemara says, Ella, rather, Shani Rav Chana Bar Chani Loi. Actually, this halacha is not based on what we had assumed, that because then it doesn't take on this tchum. This has nothing to do with tchumen. We're not talking about that he can't take it back home. Rather, Rav Huna, who was saying this halacha to him, was a student of Rav, as we pointed out. Now, this that we're saying he's a student of Rav, he was going like a different halacha of Rav, which is mentioned in Masechta Schulin Daf Tzadi Yemen Alf, which is known as the halacha of Basar Shenes Alam in Ayin, which is when somebody doesn't pay attention to the meat, if it's out of sight for even a moment, that piece of meat becomes us, even if it's hanging on a peg in the Jewish house. Now, Rav Chana, the Gavar Rabahu, he was a great big Talmud Chacham. Now, Vitar Bishmaite, he was always engrossed, he was very busy learning, and therefore he would lose sight of other things that he was involved in. He would forget about other things. Now, and therefore, v'hachay kamalei, this is what Rav Huna was telling him. Nothing to do with the halacha of tchumen, but based on this halacha of basar shenes salam. He said, "I atolas, if you yourself went and hung up the meat on the door." Now, something that somebody does himself, he doesn't forget about it, and he doesn't lose sight of that because he himself was doing it. Now, if that's the case, se'islach simona begave, you have a sign, you know exactly what type of meat you put up, and therefore, you didn't lose sight of it, and therefore, zilshkoil, it's not included in the category of basesh and salmon ayin, you always were thinking about it, you're always paying attention, and therefore, you could go ahead and take the meat because it's not usr. But v'i in hutaloch, but if they went and hung it up for you, which means that you never even thought about this meat, and they're not careful with it, and they stopped thinking about it because they gave it to you. Now, however, Maschus daitach, but you didn't think about it because you weren't involved with it. Therefore, no one was paying attention to the piece of meat, and therefore it's included in halacha basar shenes alam in ayin, and therefore you can't take it again, not because halachas of tchum. Based on those halachas, of course, he would be able to take it back home because even though they hung it up, but they hung it up for him, it makes him no worse than the patim, no worse than the ragli haraya, no worse than when he's the ragli abaylam. But the halacha is they just can't take it at all. The basar is actually forbidden meat, because neither them nor you were paying attention to this, and that's why it's going to be us. Now the Gemara continues with the final Mishnah in this Masechta talking about another Isra Rabbanan that applies to the Halachas of Yomtiv, which this is the specific Isra Rabbanan of Halachas of Mukta. So the Mishnah tells us, Ein Mashkin V'Shechtin Esamidbarius. We're not allowed to water nor slaughter the animals that go out into the Midbar. They go out further out of the city limits. And the reason why we're not allowed to go ahead and slaughter these animals on Yom Tov is because they're mukta. They're set aside. They're out of sight, out of mind, because they're not hanging around generally civilization, and therefore they're considered out of sight. Now, the Gemara will explain why we use the term of mashkin, about watering them, if that's not the focus of what we're discussing. We're talking about you're allowed to go take these animals and slaughter them and use them, or they're considered mukta. However, you could water and you could slaughter the domesticated animals, the ones that are always around. Now, the Mishnah explains what are considered the ones that are around and what are the ones that are not around, because animals come and go. So the Mishnah explains, Elohim bayasis, the ones that are considered the ones that are around are halonis beir, that they lay down at night and they sleep in the city, and that means they're always around. So we're always thinking about it, they're considered muchan to slaughter on Yom Tov. But midbarias, those are the ones halonis ba'afar, they lay down to sleep out in pasture, and therefore they don't come back for long periods of time, and therefore we're not thinking about it, and therefore when it comes to Yom Tov, they're considered muktza, and therefore usher to slaughter on Yom Tov, even though you're allowed for eichel nefesh. Now, the Gemara asks, as we alluded to this in the Mishnah, lomeli lameima mashkin meshechna. Why did the Mishnah mention another idea about watering and slaughtering? Where does that come into what we're discussing? So the Gemara says, actually, milsa agav orchi kamashman, that parenthetically, the Mishnah wanted to teach at the time of the Mishnah, once he was talking about which animals are permitted and which ones are forbidden, so in as he was saying the words, he wanted to teach us another thing regarding derech eretz, things that are one should accustom himself to doing, and that is the lashaki inish behemto ibahad lishcha, that a person should first water his animal and then slaughter it. Now the reason for that is mishum sircha de mashcha, because of the stickiness of the hide, and that is when you water an animal, it's easier to skin the hide of it because it gets stuck to the flesh. That's what, parenthetically, what the Tanna is teaching us. You're right, his main focus is regarding which animals you allow to slaughter, which ones not, which ones are muktza. But just as he was saying the term of mashka, watering it, because that's something you should do before you slaughter, because then that helps you skin the hide easier or not. Now the Gemara brings a brisa that elaborates on this halacha of our Mishnah. Tanabon, we learn the brisa. Elohim midbarius of Elohim bayasis. The brisa is going to clarify what are considered the animals that are considered far out, which are muktza, and which ones are considered that are close nearby, which are not muktza. So midbarius are considered kol sheyotzes bePesach, any animal that leaves the city itself Pesach time, v'rayis ba'afar, and then they go out to graze in the pasture. The nechnasis, and they only come back into the yishuv, into the settlement, in the first rains, which is the marcheshvan, those are considered midbarius. They're not around for a long time, and therefore people lose sight of them. Whereas ve'elehin bayasis, these are the ones that are considered domestic, that people will not be muktzan yamtub, is kol sheyetzis v'royis chutz l'tchum, where it goes out of the city limits, to pasture out of the limits, but ubayit v'lonis p'tzeitachum, they come back in to the city to lay down at night within the city limits, and therefore they're considered around. Rabbi Yaimer, he argues, and he says, ele ve'ele bayasis, and actually both of these cases, even what the Tanakama had called midbarius, he considered that they are bayasis. They're considered domestic, they're not going to be muktza, even if they leave Pesach, only which is in Nisan, they only come back in Marcheshvan. Ela elehim midbarius. Rather, these are considered midbarius, which are, these will be muktza, they're far out. Are kol sheyotzes v'rayis ba'afar, where they go out, and they go out to graze in the pasture, ve'ei nechnas lishem, and they never come back to this element. They just don't come back, not in the summer, not in the winter. They're considered muktza, but the rest, even what the Tanakhama called midbarius, will actually be considered prepared and be considered bayasis. Now, on this, the Gemara asks, Umi isli le Rebbe muktza? Does Rebbe even hold to the concept, the broader spectrum of muktza, which at least he has one category of midbarius, where they go out and they never come back, but he does consider that muktza? But on that, the Gemara asks, Bo'abayim in Erib Shimon by Rebbe Mirebbe. Shimon, the son of Rebbe, asked his father Rebbe, he asked him the following question. He says, Patzili tamara. Now, patzili tamara are dates that when they're on the tree, they never fully ripen. Now, so what people do is they take it off the tree. They make these type of baskets out of the palm fronds. They take the lulav branches and they make a basket out of it, and they put these unripe dates in it, and in the basket they ripen. So his son asked him regarding these type of dates, L'Reb Shimon Mahu. What would be the halacha regarding Reb Shimon regarding these dates? Are you allowed to eat from them on Yom Tov? That is because Reb Shimon has a very, very slight definition narrow definition of what is considered muktzah. Everything else really is not muktzah, all considered bepirin. So what's regarding these dates? Are they muktzah, even according to Rabbi Shimon, or would he hold that, no, they're not muktzah? On that omalei, Rabbi told his son, ein muktzah Rabbi Shimon, these things would not be considered muktzah according to Rabbi Shimon, because they are still edible according to some people. Rather, we continue on to Amud Beis, Ella, the only exception where even Rabbi Shimon would agree something is considered muktzah are what's called gregas v'tzimukim levad. Only when these dried figs and these dried grapes, which are these raisins, that they're put out to dry, where there are these two things that are wrong with them that make them muktzah, where originally they were fit, they were edible to eat. But what's called, he was deichah them biyadayim. He actively rejected them from utility because he says, I'm going to dry them out. That's one reason why it would be muktzah, but there's a second component. And they're also not edible until they're dried out. But regarding these things, first of all, it wasn't actively rejected because they were never edible in the first place. They were first unripe, and they're trying to ripen them in these baskets. And additionally, there are people that actually eat it in the state that it's in. And therefore, he told his son, according to Rabbi Shimon, there's not going to be muktzah. Now, however, the Gemara's question is, the Gemara assumes right now, from the fact that Rebbe was coming to explain Rabbi Shimon, it sounds like that he holds a Rabbi Shimon. Now, if he holds a Rabbi Shimon, that there is no muktzah, so why would he say by these cases of the midbarias, where at least the way he defines midbarias is that they go out and they never come back, but why should they be muktzah? They're not gregs of itzimukim. Everything else besides gregs of itzimukim are not going to be considered muktzah. So why do he say that they're muktzah? So the Gemara has three answers for this question. If you want, you could say that haninami, actually these midbarias, these animals that never come back into the settlement once they leave for the pasture, they never come back, are dummy. They're actually the same as dried out figs and of these dried out raisins, because originally when they were here before they left civilization, they were fit, and now they're not. The person actively rejected them. They were sent out and they're never coming back, and therefore that's the same as gregis vitzimukin, and that's why it's going to be muktzah. Or the Ibai Sema, second answer the Gemara gives is Ledvar of Rabbi Shimon Kama. When his son was asking him this question, what's the halacha according to Rabbi Shimon? His father Rebbe answered him appropriately what Rabbi Shimon would hold. Pavalele, severely, he doesn't hold like Rabbi Shimon. He holds actually that there is a more broader definition of muktzah, and therefore he held that their midbaris would be asr, but Rabbi Shimon actually would not hold its asr. The Ibai Sema, or if you want, you could say a third answer for this question. And that is, in our Mishnah, In this brisa that we brought, that Rebbe was arguing with the Rabbanan, L'dvreim d'Rabbanan, he was responding according to the Rabbanan that they do hold of muktzah. In other words, he could say that he holds like Reb Shimon, as he answered his son that Reb Shimon will hold these things are not muktzah, and he holds the same thing. But regarding this machlik is regarding what are considered midbarias, and that Rebbe was responding according to the opinion of the Rabbanan Kamalhu. That's what he was telling him. In other words, it was like this. He really told him, L'didi e muktzah. According to me, there's no muktzah. So there's nothing, even if they were called midbarias, whatever midbarias would be, that wouldn't be muktzah anyway, because I hold like Reb Shimon, like Patsili Tamara, and the only thing that's muktzah is gregas v'tzimukin, everything else is okay, you could always eat any animal. But the discussion in the Braisa was, El Liditchu, but according to you, that you hold that there is such a thing of muktzah, a broader definition, and that would apply to midbarias, not to bayasas, but Eiduli Mias, but at least agree to me, that hecha the yitzis raised by Pesach, but when it goes out to graze in the pasture on Pesach, but it comes back at some point. The nechnasas b'revir yishrein, it comes back in the first rains of Machashvan. The bayasa saying, at least agree to me that wouldn't even be called midbarias. That even according to you would be considered bayasas, and therefore even according to you that you hold there is such a thing as muktzah. But at least agree to me in that case that it wouldn't be muktzah. I hold there's never muktzah by animals because it's only by gregas v'tzimukin. But at least over there, agree that that's not considered midbarias, that's bayasas, and therefore even you should be considered mukha. V'amli Rabbanan, that's what the discussion of the Braisa was. The Rabbanan told him, Loi, no, midbarias saying, actually, these types of animals are considered the animals that go out for a long time, and therefore they're out of sight, out of mind, and therefore they're considered muktzah. And that's why you cannot use them on Yom Tov, and they will be considered muktzah. Hanulach Meshulim Peiris, we shall return to the fifth Perek Mesechtes Beya, Perek Meshulim Peiris, Veslika Mesechtes Beya, we have concluded Mesechtes Beya.